This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Episode 10, This Is Not Your Heaven is over, and it has been for a while, but we are finally getting started talking about the end of 1883 here on Post Show Recaps. Hello, everybody. I'm Josh Swigler. Remember me? Remember Charlie Ridgely? We're the people who talk to you about 1883 every week except for the last 2 weeks. Charlie!
It's been a long time in my life without cowboys.
I missed you, Charlie.
I missed you, too. How did everything go? How are you feeling?
So it's going. Everything's going fine. I can mostly see those of you who are like, where's the podcast? You know, I've tried to tell you multiple times. It's like, hey, it's going to be delayed. getting lasers shot into my face. And hopefully I will be not shooting lasers uncontrollably out of my eyes like Cyclops forevermore from that point forward. But I am on the other side of my LASIK surgery. I see really well now. It's a beautiful thing. Still some blurriness that I'm sorting through, wearing blue light glasses as we speak because I don't want to spend too much time staring directly at a screen. And I'm also suffering from something called rainbow glare, where I see sporadic rainbows in my vision. And it's actually kind of cool, as long as it's not forever. But for now, it's totally fine. And we were going to do the 1883 finale podcast last week. Life got in the way as I'm catching up on having been off mic for a little while due to the surgery recovery. But we are back. We've got it. We are now 2 weeks removed from the 1883 finale. We are 2 weeks removed from Taylor Sheridan talking about how, yeah, that's it, you know, effectively. And so we got questions. You and me, Charlie, I assume, have questions about, well, what does it mean when Paramount ordered more 1883 then? And of course, I think we can kind of just get into this in terms of, we assume you've watched it. We assume you have seen all of 1883. We're not going to hold back any spoilers. We're going to get really into it right away. And that was it. That was the spoiler warning. This ends up being a show, Charlie, about the origin of the Yellowstone Ranch by way of Elsa Dutton's death.
Exactly. That was the whole buildup. And that we knew from the beginning what it was going to be. And I think we kind of got deterred here and there about what it could become. And they're like, no, this is what it is. This is what we told you all along. We're going to get to the ranch, and then, you know, Elsa's going to die, and that's going to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was not this more to the story type of situation that I think all of us maybe hoped for. I'm glad they kept it contained, but also I have a lot of weird thoughts about this. I'm in a very conflicted place.
Okay.
About this finale specifically and how it wrapped everything up.
we're going to get through it. You know, Taylor Sheridan's out there doing the interview rounds, or he was. He talks about how I believe that the origin of the show is that Isabelle May, who plays Elsa, had auditioned for something else for a different Taylor Sheridan
project.
Yeah,
it was for the Mayor of Kingstown.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't right for that, but like she caught fire in his brain and he like creatively saw this path forward for, you know, this show that is following this young woman who is full of life and a fire that burns out very bright and very quickly and becomes sort of the inflection point on which everything that we saw that we see on Yellowstone is based on. And in at least his interview with Deadline, the headline of that interview with Deadline is, we wanted to make a 10-hour movie with an ending, and that's what we did. So if the question is like, will there be more 1883? Paramount said yes. Paramount Plus said that there would be more 1883. Sounds like Taylor Sheridan is saying no. And I don't know that even 2 weeks out from this, Charlie, we'd necessarily have any clarity. But the way that the story shook out was very open and shut. It's not just Elsa who dies. We see Thomas and Noemi and their kids, like they're settling down. We see what's left of Joseph's crew.
Which is just Joseph.
Die, and one of them is just Joseph.
It's just Joseph.
Yeah, and only like some of Joseph, too. He's lost a little bit.
He's missing
Joseph.
A leg. So it's literally all of them that started, the only like immigrant that's left is Joseph with one leg.
And we know that Shay has followed through on what he said, that he'd go to the ocean, and then he takes his own life, and that is the end of that character as well. So it's all like done in this big fast montage at the end of the episode, Charlie, where I'm like, yeah, I really don't know where there's much room to tell more stories in 1883 unless we're just veering away completely from all of these characters. And frankly, I don't think I want it. I think that they told the story.
Yeah, I think it's over. And when I first saw his quote, I went back and found the email from the announcement email from Paramount Plus to say, did we all just misunderstand? Was them saying more episodes really, they were talking about 1932, which is the next 1932, right?
Right. I think
the next show, it's a different generation of the Duttons. You know, it takes place during the Big Western Expansion. And they're already obviously on the ranch. And so I thought maybe we all were mistaken, and the additional episodes, really, they were talking about the next spinoff show, 1932. That was not the case. They were very separate bullet points, very separate notes, 1932 and additional 1883.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Again, because of how the show ends, because the show jumps forward a year in time, which based on the weather doesn't make sense, but I'm going to let that go. It's in 1884. The only thing I can think is that we're going to get a couple of one-off little episode stories or like mini movies about the Tim McGraw, Faith Hill characters.
Yeah.
I think what they're ordering, again, this is all just my opinion. I don't have any actual
inside
information
track.
About
yep.
this.
Yep, yep, yep.
I think that maybe we're going to see some little vignettes with those two characters because they connected so deeply with people. And I understand that. And giving another glimpse into their life because we've seen them in flashbacks from, you know, the regular Yellowstone show. I think we're going to see a little more of them in some capacity. Again, maybe these streaming movies or just one-off episode, you know, extra episodes to kind of fill in some more gaps. Because it seems like what they really want to do is just tell the whole Dutton story,
mm-hmm.
which... Again, I love Yellowstone. I'm much more interested in the Western stuff than I am the Dutton family history.
And I've been very clear that I want Yellowstone 3000. I want future sci-fi Duttons if we're going to do the full fabric of the thing.
Yeah, but, you know, I think maybe it's a weird approach of what we're going to cover. In
what,
the
Dutton sci-fi like, Duttons is a weird
approach? No, I love that. Okay. I just mean like going into other generations of the Duttons. Like I think that 1883 was done so well. I just want a continuation of a Western story.
Yeah.
I love how they approach this Western.
It's right there, 1883,000. I just have to say it because it's perfect. Low-hanging fruit.
But yeah, it's hard to think where you go. But wouldn't that be 1,883,000?
Yeah, it would, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack, and I'm really interested to see if maybe they just got too excited and said this, and there was a misunderstanding with Sheridan.
So, yeah, I mean, so for some context behind it, like when Paramount announced a lot of the things that Paramount announced,
I believe it was an upfronts presentation, right? They had a whole.
I believe that's correct. And it may have been their own special thing. But either way, they announced a slew of things. And one of them was like, we're doing Star Trek 4. We're getting the whole gang back together. It's Chris Pine. Zach Quinto. It's everybody.
It was the big earnings call thing. That's what it was.
And then there was this this trade article that came out afterwards. It was like, yeah, the actors didn't know that. They were like, we're going to bring them all back. We're going to start production by the end of the year and everyone's coming back. And like, there was this trade article where the actors were like, that was a surprise. They didn't really know that. And that like Paramount forfeited some bargaining power in favor of, getting some thumbs ups with possible investors and everything like that. So part of that makes me wonder, like, did Paramount just say, we're doing more 1883, boys? We're doing it. It's happening. And like Taylor Sheridan's like, wait a second. Are we? What? And was this like a little bit of like an undercutting of this stuff? That's speculative. I don't know. I think that your idea that they could be doing more with Tim McGraw and Faith Hill not only makes sense, but the more I think about it, like the more I think I could be open to the idea of like telemovies with them, sort of like, like novellas set in that mm-hmm. world. Like I would not be upset about that. They both seem to really enjoy playing those characters.
And they're both very good. I mean, they're very good. Happy to see more of them on TV, certainly.
If they have a worthwhile story to tell, or even mm-hmm. just like a really good vibes piece, like I think I would be down to check that out for sure.
I think, like I said, there's a piece, or a flashback scene that's really intriguing. I don't know if you've gotten to it in your Yellowstone journey.
I'm still early in season four. I have not progressed.
There is a really good flashback scene with those two characters. There's a couple, but there's one that's really intriguing that I think there could be a story around that little moment there. And, a couple little vignettes, maybe a 6-episode mini at the most, but like, I wouldn't want a whole other season of just trying to start up the ranch.
I think that would be boring. And I don't think that Taylor Sheridan is interested in it. And I think it'd be very different from what we got, unless we have like some version of Elsa speaking to us from like, her great ride and the great beyond that we see at the end of the show. But I think that would feel weird. Elsa's story feels like she lives on in the efforts of others. And that's the story. And I like that. And I don't want to.
She lives on in Beth Dutton.
Yeah, she certainly does. and in good Casey as well. Like, I think that like you definitely see it in other characters. I think you see it in the Duttons. Like, she's definitely very, very Duttony when you look at a bunch of these other characters.
But in 1883, being a Dutton made so much more sense.
So much more sense than it does in modern times. And I hope that what we get instead is, if we're going to do more 1883, some of these one-offs, I think that there were some of these characters that we saw along the way. Like, I think that the two other cowboys whose names I'm blanking on off the top of my head right mm-hmm. now, Colton.
Not Ennis.
Colton and Wade, I think.
Wade.
I would watch like a Colton and Wade, like TV movie, like a one-off. I would watch, even Taylor Sheridan's character. I would watch something about him. Like I would be interested in seeing like what this universe that Taylor Sheridan carved out during this time period looks like with other characters, but not as full on shows. I don't think. I think it's like digital specials, which might be within the realm of what we could get.
They're doing it. South Park has to be one of Paramount's biggest
properties.
Just
going to say yes, that they're doing like a bunch of these. Like what is it? Like two movies.
Yet another major property they do not have the streaming rights to.
I know. Yeah. so I think that some of this is like scrambly, but So anyway, let's talk about like the show itself, though, because they do follow through with the death of Elsa Dutton, and it was really tough. That was really hard to watch, Charlie.
I think it was hard to watch because it was emotional. It was also hard to watch because I think it was a bit of a slog there at the end.
A little bit, because you're on like the march of like, well, she's not going to make it. Yeah, I just like kind of have to suffer through all of this knowing she's not going to make it.
In episode 9, they not only tell you she's going to die, they tell you that wherever she's buried is where they're going to go. So you know everything at the end of episode 9. You know how this is going to end. And there wasn't some big twist or something. They did what they said. we know how this is going to end. We know where it's going to end. We know they're going to end up in Montana.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole hour and 10 minutes now of essentially we just have to wait and watch this woman die.
Yeah, it's tough.
And there's not a lot of, for a show that was so well paced throughout, it's like we're going to now spend an entire hour, our longest episode, just focusing on watching this girl die.
Yeah.
And there's only, I think, so much story to tell there. I mean, you have to, obviously it affects everybody differently. And there, I think it's worth spending real time in that moment, not just skipping over it. I think there are emotions to be had there. I just don't think that an entire hour dedicated to it was really all that necessary.
Yeah. I think that they, I don't know what the better course of action is.
I don't either. I don't have a great answer for that.
You know, is it that she, you know, does she sustain the injury in the final episode as opposed to the penultimate? Is that the better answer? Or is it the you know, more of a kindness to do what Taylor Sheridan did and was like, we're going to tell you in episode 9 that Elsa's going to die, so you have some time to prepare for the fact that we're actually going to do it. I kind of feel like I like the pacing of that piece of it, but I also totally hear you on, like, it was tough to weather knowing the whole time that this was where it was going to go. And, you know, I do think a different show in the hands of a different creative, I may have imagined the world where they were going to veer away from it and there was going to be like some last minute save. But that does not vibe with Taylor Sheridan, I don't think.
And that's, they kept teasing that might happen. You know, when she found the Native Americans and mm-hmm. you thought maybe this is going to be, or I guess first they went to the fort. The fort, and there was going to be a doctor there. It was, okay, maybe this is an out. That was not an out. Then they found the Native American tribe who had, he said, I have a healer. And that
but then
was
that guy
out.
Very quickly says, like, oh, by the way, like, she's dead. You know, it's just a matter of when and how.
And painful. It was like, we're just really dragging this out as long as we can because we have an hour to use, you know, and that, I think maybe just a shorter episode, like maybe a 40-minute episode would have been great.
Sure. I do think shows are overly long these days anyway. And there's probably stuff that you could trim here, but I don't know what is necessarily the thing to lose.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose anything from Joseph any more than we already lose. so, you know, like I actually did think that whole sequence was kind of great. And I think that the slog is the point to a certain degree, especially, I think it's especially effective that it feels sloggy because it's happening to somebody who we have been, you know, oriented towards really caring about, that the combination of Isabel May's performance as Elsa and Taylor Sheridan's writing of Elsa and everybody else's reactions to Elsa, both in terms of the characters in the show, but us on the other side of the screen. I think it hammers home like the point of the thing to a certain degree of like, this was a horrible time. This was a very difficult journey that they undertook and that many other people in reality undertook, where similar losses were incurred, like similarly beautiful, bright lights were snuffed out prematurely. And like there were moments where it seemed like it would be hopeful and maybe it would turn around, and no, it didn't. They really did just die of dysentery, you know? And so like, I do think that it's, you know, very Oregon Trail-y in that way. And the slog might be part of the point, but that doesn't mean like it's enjoyable to watch. I think it's effective, but enjoyable, probably not. And I do think that a lot of that point could be accomplished with an episode that's an hour 10, we're saying, like,
give me like hour 5, hour 10, something like that.
Like 20 minutes shorter, we probably could have done that.
Because that was, you know, something I liked about the early part of the season is that midway there was a great episode where it just sat in situations for a while and let characters feel things, you know, and that's something that's really rare in TV sometimes. Yeah. And I love that about the show, but it was kind of like with the Elsa stuff, all those characters felt those things in the penultimate episode. We watched them all feel these things. There's not many more things to feel than just extended more sadness. That's kind of where it got with me. It was like, okay, like we've seen them react to this. We've seen them accept this. We've seen them deal with this. And now we're just going to keep watching it for a lot more time. I mean, and ultimately, you know, it ended in a good place. I liked where it ended. Even if it was kind of a little, it kind of made me laugh when we got to the penultimate. He's like, wherever we bury her is where we're going to stay. It's like, oh, That's what you were doing the whole time. That was where this was going.
And they reiterate that in the
ranch.
They reiterate that in the finale. That I feel like that probably could have just waited for the finale. That part, like, they probably didn't need to say that in the penultimate. They could just like give it to us in the finale.
Yeah. That's kind of what added to the, like, okay, this episode feels needlessly long, because it's like, all right, we know where it's going. We know the ending.
Right.
And I mean, and like with Shay, you know, we knew from the very beginning where that was going to end. And I think we all hoped for something different. And that didn't happen. And maybe if there was more 1883, maybe his ending would be for the best.
Yeah.
So there were not any more Sam Elliott press opportunities.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Life imitating art, where he shoots himself in the foot, though.
That was a lot.
That was a lot.
And I was like, man, I wish we would have already recorded this, and we just could have already
done. That was a lot. And dude, shut up. Just be quiet. He won't be explored any further. I think that's fine.
His character had a full. Yeah.
He did exactly what he said.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm in the middle. I'm glad that they kept to the word of that, and they didn't try to extend him to something unnecessary. But at the same time, I kind of had hoped that he had grown in such a way that he saw a need for himself in the world. And maybe that's just my selfishness as a fan of the character. I wanted him to find joy.
That would have been an arc. I don't know that there was necessarily an arc for that character. The whole of his experience that we saw on 1883 for Shay as a character felt like the epilogue to a guy's story. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, no change, nothing really, altering at all. He says in the first episode effectively what he's going to go and do, and he just goes off and does it, and it's just a delay from going from point A to point B.
And I wonder if Elsa's fate might have changed. Like, had Elsa lived, would he have handled things differently because of the bond they kind of formed throughout the show? You know, he saw a lot of himself in her, I think. Had she survived, maybe he had a different kind of hope in the world.
I think a stronger narrative choice, you tell me, Charlie, might have been to, end with him on the beach. Maybe he's got gun in hand. Maybe he doesn't, but we don't see or hear the bang.
Yeah. I think that's, as a writer, as someone who likes to create stories, for me, if I was writing this show and it came down to that, I would have cut away.
Yeah.
That would have been just personally. I like the ambiguity of that. I like the put the story in your hands to think about it. You leave it open-ended again. I mean, not only for creative purposes, but say Paramount comes and backs up a dump truck of money to my house and they want more of this character. It's the opportunity is there.
I guess I appreciate the stick-to-itiveness to the
right. Well,
the creative that vision
is that where, that's kind of an aside, but creatively I still like the idea of it being ambiguous.
Yeah.
But also Taylor Sheridan has always dealt in finality. That's been part of his bag. Life and death are very real and very, to the point. And he's always told those kind of stories. He doesn't look away from something difficult. He's like, well, this is life. This is what it is. Here it is. And, I think that for Taylor Sheridan, cutting away never would have been something he would have done.
Yeah.
That is very much his, how he operates and how he does things. And so, like I said, I might have done something differently, but I didn't create 1883. I didn't create the character of Shay Brennan.
No,
that was not.
We only created 1883,000, which, by the way, to just justify that a little bit more, Charlie, would involve some sort of time warp that appears. Future Duttons come back to Tim McGraw and Faith Hill and Elsa. And they're like, we need to get you out of here. It's about to go really bad. We got to take you back to our time. And they're needed.
Someone watched The Adam Project this weekend.
There is I actually didn't. No spoilers. There's a paradoxical.
That's the movie's about. Is
multiversal time heisty deal where it doesn't break the anything. It's just that the universe is splitting off in different directions. And so you get Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, and Isabel May in the year 3000, but that's why it's called 1883,000. It's like you put like a slash between the 8 and the 3, Charlie, for the logo I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I could see it. I could see it. You know, created by Taylor Sheridan and Michael Waldron.
Yeah, and Josh Wigler and Charlie Ridgely.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We do get an ending for Thomas that I feel like could be explored further if we wanted to explore any of like the actual characters from this a little bit more. I would be fine with like a Thomas spinoff. That being said, summoning the circle, hope this works. Nobody do anything bad to Thomas. So I also don't want to see a Thomas show because it seems like that was like the happiest of the endings by a lot.
Yeah, it seemed like it was the only happy ending. You know, they found their land in Oregon and they were going to start there with their family, you know, and that's, that was a really nice thing to have happen.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I can say was nice about the ending of 1883.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say nice. I think it was done well. That was the only nice, happy thing.
It was really happy.
The show.
And so like further exploration of that, you know, requires drama. And I don't know that I need that for that guy. Or for Noemi,
yeah, no,
for
I
that
just want
matter.
To, like,
she and her
maybe
too.
I think we suggested this in a different episode, but like it can just be a Full House scenario. You know, they just it's a sitcom about raising their family in the woods of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it can just be, there can be a laugh track.
It could be called Plains and Simple. And it's just like life of the plains, very simple. Nothing happens.
No, we're just going to laugh at our kids.
Yeah, the biggest drama is like somebody sets up camp next to them, and so like hijinks ensue because they don't get along.
A whole episode where there's a rogue groundhog.
Yes.
You know, like that's what I want. But they don't kill it. It becomes their pet.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a peaceful, wonderful, happy life.
Yeah.
For the two of them. A whole season where Noemi's pregnant. We can do a whole arc with it. You know, just...
Good
old fashioned family sitcom. Nothing complicated. Just love and joy.
That's another good name for the show. Meanwhile, for Joseph, he loses a leg.
And a wife.
So the implication is that she dies sometime during that year, right?
Oh, I thought we see her die.
Do we see her die? And I missed
it. Well, I mean, because he like rolls over and he like says something to her and she doesn't respond.
Oh.
And her eyes are open and he like taps her on the face and she doesn't move. And we watched everyone.
That may speak to the slogginess that, I watched this a week ago. That is out the window. Yeah. He's the only guy. Maybe he should have settled for Colorado.
Maybe he should have gone with Noemi and Thomas and been like, yeah, I'll be the nanny. I'll be the one-legged nanny. Uh-huh. And that could, with you know, and I'll understand English all that well. So there's a whole, look, there's another great humor angle right there.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we pan out on the ending and we learn that we see him setting up his own camp and we realize it's actually, like, just across the field.
Yes.
Like, it's right nearby and we didn't know it.
We could retcon that. That's definitely retconnable at this point.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
The severing of the leg scene and, like, him getting, like, blasted ahead of time. My God, that was some rough stuff.
Yeah, but that was where the good Western stuff came in. It's like that's the good, like, Wild West action, you know, type of thing that I think some people really loved. I mean, I loved it too, but I think that was the big draw for some people with 1883 was this big Western epic, and that's the kind of things, like, they didn't shy away from the violence or, like, the brutality of the West.
Yeah,
and it was a really well done, well executed scene, and it was hard to watch.
Yeah,
but it was. It was very good. And I mean, Thomas in that scene, you know, watching him have to do it, like, it was just, that was good stuff.
Yeah.
That was good Western brutalness. Yeah. I guess brutality is a better word, but I think of Mortal Kombat and then I have to
brutality
take a step back.
Yeah. Do you think that there's a T out there called brutality?
I would be surprised if there wasn't.
Yeah. And if not, let's check the patent on that before we publish the podcast. Well,
let me give it a Google. Just do that real quick.
Do a really quick search for brutality, because I think we're on to something if it's not a thing that currently exists. Let's
see. Yeah, brutalities.com.
Okay. All right. Well, every good idea is taken, Charlie, except for 1883,000, which
it doesn't seem like it's marketed super well.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. We just gave them a boost. Not endorsed. Not endorsed. Not endorsed here on the 1883 podcast. Joseph amputation was tough. That was really, really horrible. And then so much else of the rest of the episode is just like, Alice is going to die. So talk to me about, like, the end of her storyline and, like, some of the beats that we get. Like, they spend a whole chunk of time trying not to worry her and tell her what's going to happen. Eventually, you know, she's the one who's like, I'm dying, R&I, and it's, like, very emotional. And we ultimately end with her and her father beside the tree. And this is where she chooses. She wants to choose the spot. And she also gets to have, like, sort of this final, like, out of body experience, or maybe it's just Taylor Sheridan, like, sketching out what this could have been for her. I don't know. I would just love to get some of your thoughts.
Where
on,
she goes back to find
her husband. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, again, we talk about other creatives in another creator's hands. That might've been did that really happen?
Right.
You know, did she survive miraculously and get a happy ending?
Yeah.
And I don't think that any of us watching the show thought that at
all. How upset do you think that Ennis feels that he was not included in, like, her dying dream? It's like, what? I don't get to be part of this.
Sam was in fewer episodes than Ennis.
Yeah.
But Sam, they did the whole thing, but it's like, spiritually, she made so much more sense for Sam. Like, he was really the, you know, the soul that she needed. And you know, Ennis and her never got fully married. They just said they were kind of married, and then he died.
Yeah.
Poor Ennis.
Come on.
Poor Sam. I mean, I'm interested to see. We're talking about, you know, stories to explore. I'm interested to see how Sam reacted to everything, and when and how Sam found out, if he found out. And
well, I did think
what that looks like.
The show did a good job of, like, you know, getting us into this place with Martin Sensmeyer, who plays the character, and that scene, like, we're lingering on him, and it makes it feel like maybe that's what his actual reaction, like, he came to the meeting spot, she doesn't show up, and he just, like, plays that so sadly and tragically.
Yeah.
And then they kind of continue it as, no, this is sort of like, either the vision of what could have been, or, you know, what she's thinking as she's leaving. And they get to ride off. But I do think that we get some version of an answer of, like, what that might have been like for him, AKA very sad.
Yeah. And I think he's one to know, like, she didn't stand me up. Like, if she's not here, she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this all has to go. I don't know. It's hard to, like, say much more about the ending, because there's not, you know, I think I've had so much time to process it. You know, not even just the past couple of weeks, but because of the episode 9, I think
we had
settled
3 weeks
into where I ended up.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I think that seeing her at the spot, it reminded me a lot of their scenes in Yellowstone when you see and they talk about that spot being where the whole family resides permanently.
Yeah, don't they say and something so, like that make no like we may be like buried somewhere else, but make no mistake, this is our graveyard or something like that, I think was the line.
And and now you're in season four, so I don't know if you've gotten to it yet, but there's a flashback scene with John Dutton and his dad and his dad dying. And that was really reminiscent. There's a lot of parallels with that scene and with, you know, Elsa and James and how that was shot. And that really, you know, that kind of resonated with me. You know, when you have one person over this entire franchise, it's kind of easy to remember the parallels, you know, because Taylor Sheridan's written essentially everything in Yellowstone. So,
I mean,
I said essentially, by credit. So it's easy to kind of line up those parallels to where he wants them to be. And
great answer in his Deadline interview of Deadline asks, recently the top Paramount execs had an investor day on the Paramount Plus part of it. There were a lot of continuing and new series coming from Taylor Sheridan. Can you handle all this? Are you overtaxed? And his response is, I'm grossly overtaxed. He says it's impossible what they're asking for. He's more hopeful. He says, but it was impossible what they asked for last year. And I don't know what else to say. That's what he says.
I mean, there's been a lot of conversation. I guess this is a weird aside, but like amongst writers and TV writers about how Taylor Sheridan handles things. And there's like there's a pro and con situation to it because he does a lot of things himself. He doesn't really deal with writers' rooms. And that's kind of passing up a lot of opportunity for other people. But at the same time, it's like people have been in writers' rooms where the creator just takes whole control and just doesn't, you know, takes credit for their work and doesn't, you know, and puts them aside and doesn't and you know, Sheridan kind of acknowledges on the front end, like, hey, it might not be like what everyone wants, but like, I know what I want and I don't want to put anyone else through that. So I'm just going to do it myself. And, you know, I'll ask for help when I need it, but like, I'm not going to bring a bunch of people into my mess. It's a really interesting debate. If you're a writer listening to this, it's really interesting to read some of his quotes and read some thoughts on his process because it is very unique. You know, he holds up in a ranch and writes a lot of stuff all at one time, which again is why I think, you know, if we subscribe to the idea that he writes all of it, that's why I think I had the issues with season four of Yellowstone that I did, because
look,
it was
that segue.
Clearly written at the same time as 1883. And I think one of them was much stronger than the other one was.
Look at
I think
that
a lot
segue,
of really
Charlie.
Good energy. Yep.
Look at what you just did there, because
that wasn't even on purpose.
Yeah, this is worth talking about really quickly. And I mean, really honestly, as we're ramping down, because I don't know how much more I have to say about 1883 other than what we've said. I was really sad. I was very moved by Isabel May's performance. We had time to prepare for Elsa's death. I'm glad that they stuck with it if that was the direction they were going to go. And it certainly seemed like that was the impetus for the story in the first place. So they had to go there. And I'm glad that they stuck to it. I'm curious, fascinated, open, but kind of skeptical about what additional 1883s might look like.
I'm more excited about the idea of 1932 than I am any additional 1883 at this point.
Correct. And 1932 sounds fun. And I think, again, as another like 10 episode movie, that sounds fun. And if we could just be like telling all of these different points in time, I think could be a cool strategy for how to continue to spin out the Yellowstone universe. But Yellowstone proper, the streaming is all weird, right? Because it airs on Paramount Network, but it streams on Peacock.
It's genuinely the most popular Paramount product right now.
Sure.
Like, it is the company's most popular franchise, and it does not belong. It's not like, imagine if Disney Plus didn't have Star Wars.
Yeah. So it's very, very, very important to Paramount, but they don't have it on Paramount Plus, and they air it on Paramount Network. And then you have to like either buy it on Amazon if you want to watch it live, or you have to wait until it comes to Peacock. Well, Charlie, season four of Yellowstone is coming to Peacock this month, March 28th.
Mm-hmm. The entire season four, which again, I know for Paramount, it really sucks to have another competitor have that, because Peacock is really advertising it. Like it's a huge asset for Paramount, for Peacock right now, streaming wise. It's a huge boost to Peacock streaming, because it's a really big popular show. And the first three seasons have been on there for a while. And, you know, that's where I watched all of it. That's where you've watched all of it.
Yeah.
Save for season four. You know, it's a huge, there was a whole issue with a regime change. And, you know, before when CBS All Access was existent and not Paramount Plus, they were, you know, trying to make some money and sold the streaming rights to Peacock. And then it became this giant show. And, you know, it's the same similar deal, like we say with South Park, where they, you know, HBO Max has the rights to it. But new specials from South Park are being aired exclusively on Paramount Plus. So it's a difficult situation for Paramount. I know that those rights will revert back at some point whenever the current deal expires. And I don't think we know when that deal is.
No.
Is for. There hasn't been, I believe the South Park one is over before the Yellowstone one is, because they talked about South Park being over sooner. Anyway, all that to say is on Peacock for now, but Peacock's a free service. Now, I do think you have to have the paid. There's multiple tiers on Peacock. And if I'm correct, which I remember correctly, you need the middle tier at least to watch the new Yellowstone.
There's a middle tier? I thought there was just like an ad and then an ad free. There's a
there's a free tier. Yeah. There's the free tier, then there's the ad tier, then there's the ad free tier. So the free tier, you don't get access to everything.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
Like,
okay.
I don't think all seasons of The Office are on the free tier.
Okay. Sure. Sure.
Or
sure.
Like when a new, like when Marry Me came out, the Jennifer Lopez
Owen Wilson
movie.
Yeah.
You know, that was a theater, you know, or Halloween Kills when they did that.
Yeah.
The free tier, I don't believe you get access to the, I could be wrong about that, but I know there are things that belong on the paid tier that you don't get on the free one. So that bottom paid tier, the $4.99 one that you get with ads, you get access to everything. So $4.99 a month, you can have any new episodes of Yellowstone. Like I said, I don't think they're all available on the free tier when the new ones come out. I could be wrong about that. But just in case, I would double check before
explore your subscriptionary needs of what you need to do Yellowstone. But if like you've been holding out on Yellowstone or you've been waiting for season four to drop, it is dropping soon. I went ahead and bought it on Amazon and have not cleared it, and I should have just waited. But what are you going to do? I have not been able to get back to it for a couple of weeks. But I do.
You're about halfway through, right?
Yeah, I got through episode four. I think I'm going to start from the beginning again because it's like in one ear
of season four, not the beginning
correct.
Of the whole show.
Correct.
I was like, man, that's ambitious.
Correct. But I do think what we'll do is, you know, we're going to wrap up 1883 now. The Yellowstone season four coming out March 28th. At some point, not terribly long after that, you and I will get together. We'll be able to have like our very big Yellowstone conversation at that point. It will be a full spoiler Yellowstone conversation through season four. So if you are not fully caught up on Yellowstone, it won't be safe for you. So we'll give you plenty of time. You know, I think it would be at least a week later would be the soonest that we would have that podcast out for you. But I think that's going to be our next Yellowstone universe check-in. And then like, you know, whenever season five is coming up, Charlie, I think we'll probably be on the weekly on that.
I think season five is good based on the way the conversations have, the way that the talk has sounded. It feels like season five is going to be here before 4/6 is here. Because 4/6 is the other big spinoff that they've been talking about, which takes place on the ranch that Sheridan now owns in Texas. And that's in modern day Yellowstone. If you've seen any of season four, you've seen talk of the 4/6. You know, they've dealt with that a little bit. And again, I thought that was going to happen first, but I kind of feel now that we're going to see Yellowstone season five first. I'm not entirely sure how that's all going to shake out, but I guess we'll find out. But it'll be a while before we get anything new Yellowstone after we kind of recap season four, or I guess the whole series through season four. But I mean, just, like, before we wrap up, I do want to hear, you know, if you have any extra just overall thoughts about the entirety of 1883. I think we went into this not being sure what it was going to be.
I really liked it ultimately. I thought that it was so much better than I expected it to be. I really thought that we were going to get into it and it was going to be like something to like kind of like lightly, you know, podcast about. And like I think that we've been light along the way, but you know, I think that you and I don't want to speak for you, especially while you're right here, but I think we were both really high on it ultimately. And I know that from the people who I talked to in my life who had watched it, especially people who also had watched Yellowstone proper. Like, I have one friend who watched this and Yellowstone proper and thinks that Yellowstone proper is like a totally ridiculous trash show in a great way. And then was like, 1883 was legitimately very good. I think I'm pretty close to that is my review. Charlie, I don't know if you've got a different take.
No, I think, like, you know, we might differ. Like, I think I was a little, I took Yellowstone a little more seriously for the first couple of seasons. And now I've kind of reached a more like, okay, like some of this is ridiculous and I still enjoy it for specifically for that reason, but this is so over the top and crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as 1883 goes, I feel very in line with you. I mean, I really loved the show. You know, I don't, I'm not going to sit here right now on, you know, March, what is it? 14th, 2022. And, talk about how I would love to see Sam Elliott get an Emmy for
sure. Yeah.
This role. Cause that's where I was at for a while.
Sure. Yeah.
And if you take any context away and just talk about the performance, I certainly think it's a worthy one.
It's a great performance.
I think it's my favorite performance of the show. Isabel May is right there too.
Yeah. I think she's mine ultimately.
I think he was heavier in the beginning. I think she kind of took over.
That's
the show.
That's another takeaway though, Charlie, is like, I'm really excited for Isabel May's career. Hopefully people watched this and know that she is very talented.
Star. She's really, really good. And I'm excited to see where she goes. I'm excited to see if she kind of launches into like, does all of this Taylor Sheridan stuff, or, you know, cause maybe we get to 1932 and she plays another character that, you know, is a descendant of these people, because why not? But yeah, you know, I'm not going to sit here and make that kind of push, but I think he was very good, and I think that
Tim McGraw and Faith Hill really surprised me.
They really, really surprised, because you know, a lot of the people in that show, you knew going in what they were going to bring. I'm disappointed we didn't get more Billy Bob Thornton. I thought he was going to be like a character in this show that wasn't just one episode. I'd love some more of that character, but everyone in the show was very, very good. And I am thoroughly pleased with the product that we got from 1883. I don't like when TV creators talk about making 10-hour movies. I think that kind of sells TV short, and that's unnecessary.
Yeah,
but sure. I think 1883 is one of the cases where I think it really applies because it's structured that way. Like,
I think when we talk about it like that, I do think it's annoying. And I think like it is diminishing to TV, which is proving itself to be such a tremendous medium to tell really artful stories. I think that there is like a novelistic approach to.
Novel is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, it has episode arcs, but it really is one overall arc from start to finish. And, you know, it's 10 episodes. I don't know. I think it works really, really well as a standalone thing. And I'm glad it's a standalone thing. I would love to watch some more behind the scenes stuff for this coming together. But you know, like we talked about before, this is the coolest Western thing we've had on TV since Deadwood.
Yeah.
You know, and really Deadwood's the only one for years.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a lot of Western stuff on TV. And so this is a really refreshing thing.
Hell on Wheels is so mad listening to this podcast.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Hell on Wheels. The entire
personified Hell on Wheels is listening to this.
I did forget about Hell on Wheels.
It's like, damn it, Charlie.
And my dad loved Hell on Wheels. I did forget about Hell on Wheels. I might revisit that because I only watched the first season.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Tell me about that.
But then also, I mean, even if you like Hell on Wheels, it never really hit a zeitgeist. It never really hit a cultural, not even zeitgeist. Zeitgeist is a bigger thing that I'm talking about. It never really hit the cultural, like made a cultural impact like Deadwood did.
Yeah.
What did I do?
Yeah. Nothing.
You're laughing at me.
I'm just thinking about Hell on Wheels.
I only watched it the first season of that show.
It's fine.
I remember there being a woman with face paint that was really scary.
I don't remember.
Like a face tattoo or something. She was awesome.
Yeah. Well, but, I think the good news is this
made a big cultural impact.
Yes, exactly.
Big records for Paramount Plus.
Yep.
This has certainly been the biggest and most talked about Western show since Deadwood.
And I'll be really curious to see like what genre they're playing in, what Taylor Sheridan's going to play in with like 1930, whatever, you know, like, I think that like, if is it like a gangster type thing? Is it like closer to like a Boardwalk Empire than it was a Deadwood? Like, I think that could be interesting. And I'm looking forward to seeing what that's all about. And I would be interested in seeing, you know, playing with different genres within this same shared universe, because that's marketable. Like, that's fine as long as it's telling like good, interesting stories as well. And not even just good, interesting stories, but also like, you know, strong craft. Like, there's just some amazing cinematography across 1883. Yeah. The score was beautiful. Like, it just had a vibe. I do talk about clarity of vibe over clarity of vision. Like, there was just a vibe to 1883 that I enjoyed, you know, spending time with.
And all of like the costuming and the props were very authentic feeling.
Yes.
Very, you know, like those wagons really looked great. You know, a lot of the work with the horses was fantastic. You know, there really was an authenticity to it that I think added to that vibe. When you look at those big skies and you see that wagon on fire, and it's like, oh, like, that looks really good.
Yes.
It was a really wonderful,
beautiful show. Like,
wonderful, you know, looking.
Not unlike what Else always says, like, it's heaven and it's hell. They live together. It's both like a very dark show at times and a beautiful show at times. And I thought that they did a really good job, more than they didn't. You know, I definitely enjoyed it much more than I did not.
Yeah. Like I said, there in that last episode, there might be a couple of little narrative things like that I didn't love 100%, but like the craft of the show, never once did I have any kind of anything but wonderful things to say about it. Really, you know, it was a really well produced show, and I was immensely pleased with the product overall.
Yep. All right, Charlie. Well, we'll be back in a few weeks to talk about our big Yellowstone spoiler extravaganza special. We'll talk about all things Yellowstone. I think at least a week out from season 4 being on Peacock, so people have time to watch the show. If in between now and then you want to get feedback in for that podcast, you can email me, josh@postshowrecaps.com. Just put Yellowstone season 4 in your subject line so I know to click it when I'm ready. You could also tweet at me, @RoundHoward. You could tweet at Charlie as well, @CharlieRidgely, where you also find out what Charlie's got going on over at comicbook.com. Anything fun you want to plug right now, Charlie?
Not at the moment. We're talking, a friend and I are pitching a project for April that, you know, we're hoping we can get off the ground. You know, even if we don't do it at work, we're probably gonna do some kind of calendar on our own.
Yeah.
But we're looking at maybe some cool Nick Cage related stuff ahead. Ooh. Of the unbearable weight of
shortbread. I just love shortbread.
He's so my favorite.
I just wanted to look like shortbread.
Yeah. So we're my friend Jamie and I are talking about doing something for that, and you know, just Batman's in the rear view. We had some fun cram stuff going on for that, and now we're kind of in the lead up overall to Doctor Strange and Moon Knight and the return of Marvel Cinematic Universe, all kinds of ridiculous stuff, you know.
Yeah,
talking about the multiverse, just all kinds of nonsense. That's all what you can expect. Nonsense. All kinds of nonsense, and it's the best kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, if you want to ask me questions, I've seen all of Yellowstone season 4. I'm fully caught up. So if you have a question that you're anxious to have answered and you can't send it to Josh yet, you know, feel free to hit me up on Twitter. You know, I'm all caught up. I'm all ears. So,
and catalog it, Charlie, for the podcast as well.
Oh, for sure.
We can get into it on that too.
I'll send it to on Discord to myself.
Yes.
So that I don't forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just leave that unread notification sitting there.
100%.
You know, I'll just let it bother me for weeks until I can share it with you.
Hey, that's a good note that you could also bother both Charlie and I on Discord if you sign up to become a patron of Post Show Recaps at patreon.com/postshowrecaps, where we are both in the patron Discord, hanging out, talking TV with folks. That could be you. You'd support the podcast, make it possible for podcasts like these to continue. So consider it, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Charlie, anything else?
No, man, I'm looking forward to talking to Yellowstone.
Me too.
Yellowstone with you,
very much.
That's going to be a very different podcast.
I'm a little bit removed from like really crushing seasons 2 and 3, especially. So I'll need to jog my memory a bit. But it'll be fun. I have a lot of thoughts about Yellowstone. So many.
Oh yeah, and I get to talk about you know, Rourke with you, which I'm real stoked to talk about Rourke with you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah.
/ Sawyer.
Yes. Yes.
You know, there's a lot of things that I'm just. Yeah. I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on it. I think it's
going
to be.
Tell you what, I'm not going fly laughing, fishing anytime soon, Charlie.
A lot of laughter in that podcast.
I think so too.
I assume.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to break that down.
It's possible that'll be too big to contain to one. That could be like a multi-parter, I think, is a possibility. we'll see where it ends up. All right, so stay tuned to the feed. This will be where that podcast drops. Anything that's Yellowstone adjacent, we will keep it in this podcast feed. Don't unsubscribe. Give us a few weeks. Once it's on Peacock Season 4, we'll give you some time to watch the show. Now would be the time for you to be binging Yellowstone between now and then. And then we'll come back with a full Yellowstone spoiler podcast. Until then, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.